Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning, and welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very, very glad that you could tune in with us this morning. This morning in the studio, I have with me a friend, and actually not just a friend, but a ministry partner of many, many, many years, Senior Pastor Brandon Holthouse with Rock Harbor Church here in Bakersfield is with me in the studio. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good to be here.
I'm so glad that you could be here. You and I actually met several years ago under what I would term some very, very interesting circumstances.
Yeah.
I had received an invitation to attend a staff meeting at Valley Baptist Church,
right,
the church in which you were on staff as an associate pastor.
Right.
To share the staff meeting, testimony, and about His Way Out Ministries.
Right.
I remember that day very, very well because I had been told in advance, because it was a staff meeting, I'd only have about 10 minutes.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
But I was welcoming the invitation, the opportunity.
Sure.
But wouldn't you know that the 10 minutes became almost 2 hours?
It did. It certainly did.
Once again, giving evidence to the fact that put God's people in a safe environment and the opportunity to talk about this subject matter and the dam breaks. And that was certainly true that day, wasn't it?
It sure was. A lot of things were on our minds as pastors who do not full-time counseling, but part-time counseling during our week. And we obviously had a full-time counselor on staff that was making us all aware of what he was seeing in counseling. What we were starting to see in the families in the church, because people started saying, hey, I have a son or daughter that has just come out and said they're gay or lesbian. And this was, Philip, it must have been 8-9 years ago that when this occurred, and we were starting to see this rise in counseling.
Right.
And so that's why I think Robert Newton brought you in to talk to us. And then obviously we were seeing it as well.
Yes. Let me ask you, because, again, the subject of homosexuality is a topic that you and I have discussed at length many, many, many times.
That's right.
What was it in particular that caused you to take a step back and really be concerned about the direction this was going, especially within the body of Christ?
Well, it's there's an old saying, there are socially acceptable sins in the body of Christ, and then there's not socially acceptable sins. There's sins that people, they have a grasp of, so to speak, like adultery or whatever. Yeah. There's sins like that that people, they can kind of get their arms around and understand to some extent and realize how to fix it. But when it comes to this particular sin, this one throws them for a loop. They don't really know how to handle it. But, and like you and I have talked about, it's no different than handling a kleptomaniac or somebody that's involved in some other type of sin or behavior.
Right.
But for some reason, this one has really caught people off guard, and they don't know how to react. So that's kind of what we started seeing, not just in the church, but in the counseling world, Christian counseling world, and the fact that they either punted this to, well, God's got to do a miracle and change them, and He does. Or they punted it to, well, there's no hope for them. They've went too far. It's a Romans 1. They're right. Given over. They're not coming back. So what we saw happening in mainstream was they either punted to mysticism rather than discipleship, because discipleship is what gets people free from this, the relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
Or they punted to where you're just not saved.
Absolutely. As I shared with you before, had it not been some 30 years ago for a church with a very, very dedicated senior pastor and associate pastor, mm-hmm. that really neither of these men had any experience with ministering, per se, to someone with the brokenness of same-sex attraction. I was, for them, I was the first individual coming from that identity, coming from that brokenness they had ever met. But yeah. these two wonderful, godly men believed in the power of the Holy Spirit
right.
to transform a life.
Right.
And thankfully, as you said just a moment ago, they didn't see the brokenness of same-sex attraction as something bigger or less than some other form of brokenness that many people, men and women, would struggle with today.
Right, right. All sin is handled the same way in discipleship. And if it's an unbeliever, obviously they have to get saved first, and then the discipleship process happens. And so that's what I think people need to grasp, because unfortunately, I'm still seeing the same thing in quote-unquote Christian counseling, and there's a lot of good Christian counselors out there, but a lot of them call themselves Christians, but they simply do not know how to help the person because they don't know how to disciple somebody. And so it shouldn't scare anybody. It's just you got to take the person through the same discipleship process you would take anyone else caught in struggling with.
Exactly.
And I don't know why this still continues to happen. I think a lot of it has to do with, and I want to make sure I qualify this. I'm not putting all counselors in the same box, but a lot of counselors are trained in secular counseling, and they're Christians, but they have never been trained in Christian discipleship, or what we call Christian counseling or biblical counseling.
Right.
And so when someone goes to a counselor and they say, I'm a Christian counselor, but they don't realize the education of that counselor is all secular.
Hmm.
And they don't have the biblical ways of understanding of how to get someone out of this, because God prescribes the ways how to do it.
Exactly.
So I think we still have the same problem going on.
Exactly. And thankfully, I was one of those individuals. I'm certainly not the exception. There are many, many other men and women around the world that were once struggling with, again, the brokenness of same-sex attraction.
Yeah.
But through a genuine, deep, personal, intimate relationship with Christ, and thankfully, men and women, godly men and women, that came alongside to mentor us.
Yeah.
They were larger-than-life role models, and to disciple us.
Mm, yeah.
I really believe today the true earmark of a disciple of Jesus Christ is an individual who submits their heart to Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
On a daily basis for ongoing renovation.
That's right.
The reality, the truth is, whatever we may be struggling with, we're all in process.
That's right.
Process always points to an element of time. And when I hear from an abundance of men and women today, regardless of the habit, addiction, or compulsive behavior that they may be struggling with, is, okay, I see in God's word I can be free from this, that, or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And how long is this going to take?
Yeah.
And is that not a process that we are all in, whether we've been walking with Jesus for a day or 50 years, a process that will continue in all of our lives till either we go home to be with him or he comes back to get us.
Right, right.
So in many respects, we need to relax and enjoy the process, the journey. Amen?
Well, amen. And I think, you know, what's done some harm in that is when people get up there and they have a testimony, and I understand God does miracles, I agree with this, but they'll get up there in front of a congregation and say, you know, I was an alcoholic, or I was a drug addict, or I was into some sexual perversion, I got saved, and all of it went away. That really doesn't help the person who's struggling, because that's not the norm.
Right.
Does God certainly do that? Yeah. But for the most part, most people get saved and they're going to start the work of sanctification.
Right.
And I think what God is trying to do in the majority of these cases is, what is the process teaching us? That's the idea. So if he just took something away from us, what would we learn? And I think what you see in God's discipleship is the process is to teach us more about ourselves and about him, and understanding why we did what we did,
yes.
why we made these decisions. And then that takes a process of time, because if we've lived 20, 30 years in a particular sin or lifestyle or whatnot, that's going to take a long time to break, because that ingrains a pattern of behavior.
Exactly.
And that pattern of behavior obviously has to change. That's why Paul will say, put off and put on. But that's a habitual pattern of behavior that needs to change. That's what he's referring to.
Right.
And so to embrace the process is part of the discipleship.
Exactly. And I would submit also, again today, with the various forms of brokenness that many men and women are struggling with, mm-hmm. for a lot of the individuals, there's this expectation, if not demand,
yeah.
that they want their problem to be eradicated
yeah.
in the twinkling of an eye. Well, wouldn't that right. be nice and convenient?
Oh, man, that would be great.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't work that way, apparently. And I think what that does is it provides there a desire for a shortcut in all of this. And I think that God doesn't want that, because he wants to unravel the reasons why. Why did you do this? Do you
exactly.
understand what happened here? And so I always go back to this discipleship process is really learning not only about God and his grace and mercy, but more about ourselves too, because if we don't fix, let's just say he takes an area away from us, okay, he takes away someone who has a pornography addiction. What I have found is that they'll turn to another addiction if the root problem is not fixed.
Exactly.
So they'll turn to overeating or some type of compulsive behavior, and what they're doing is cutting off branches instead of getting to the root.
Right.
And so I think that's why God stretches this out and makes it a process, or requires a process, so that you can get to the root and get it out of you.
Exactly.
So that's my opinion.
And again, regardless of the brokenness, whatever it may be, same-sex
right.
attraction,
drugs,
alcohol,
yeah.
lying, etc., ultimately, the goal for every man, every woman, the ultimate goal is God the Father.
Yeah.
It's not just the resolving of a form of brokenness, because as mm-hmm. you said, we experience many different victories in our life, and it's going to be a chain of victories.
Mm-hmm.
So we must keep the right focus, God the Father.
Yeah. And I think to add to what you're saying, and this is where it's going, the reason people get into addictions or any type of sin is because they have believed a lie. And the issue that God is trying to get them to is, what lie do you believe that's not true either about me or reality or about yourself? Because if someone's continuing to believe a lie when God has given the truth, they're not trusting God. So you're absolutely right. It comes back to the Father of not trusting God. So God wants to show them, why don't you trust me? And I think that's why the process takes some discipleship, because a person has to eventually discover, what lie do I believe about myself? And then the truth can set them free.
Exactly.
And then on top of this, I'll add to it, about learning about understanding God and trusting him. People derive a reward for believing a lie. There's a payoff for it. And that's what keeps the lie going. And I think God's trying to show them, look, you get this reward. Let's take compulsive eating. The reward is it makes me feel good. So they've used that as a coping mechanism to handle something in their life, when really, if the truth would get into their heart, it would set them free.
And with regard to same-sex attraction, there is a lot of lies that people have embraced as fact and truth,
yeah.
such as once gay, always gay.
Right, exactly.
You were born homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
All of those, and certainly there are many, many others, contradict the heart of the gospel. They contradict the truth and the authority of Scripture, because God says very, very clearly in his word
mm-hmm.
that regardless of the brokenness, with him all things are possible. And that
right.
includes freedom from the brokenness and snare of same-sex attraction.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it all goes back to the Garden of Eden. You know, with Satan tempting people, did God really say this?
Yes.
You know, and making them doubt the word of God, or, you know, doubt what God has said. And then what did Adam and Eve do? She believed the lie that this would make her like God. in knowing good and evil. So it comes down to that. And there are lies out there. Like, they even sing about it now. There's a song out there, I was born this way. You know, and that's a lie. We're born sinners. There's no doubt about that.
Yes.
But we're not born to be destined into something that's contradicting the Bible.
And, you know, that is so, so very, very important, because as I sit across from men and women that struggle with same-sex attraction, mm-hmm. I have heard so many times over these 23 years of His Way Out Ministries, I didn't ask for these feelings. I didn't
right.
ask for these attractions.
Right.
And they are correct. But let's take it a step further.
Right.
Did any of us ask for a sinful behavior?
Right, exactly. We inherited it, and it gives us certain proclivities.
And it tells us what? That because we all inherited a sinful nature and we're born into a fallen world, mm-hmm. we're all broken. And
yeah.
as a result, our brokenness is going to manifest in some form or fashion.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And everybody's got some type of issue they're struggling with, whether it's pride or, like you say, lying or anything like that. The sin nature is going to manifest our weakness.
Yes.
And so you're absolutely right.
Let me get your response to this. There
okay.
are many today that challenge the conservative Christian view
mm-hmm.
that we see clearly in both the Old and the New Testament
yeah.
that God has defined homosexual practice in His eyes, not unlike many other behaviors, as a sin. And there are those today, when we take that position and we're quoting the truth in the authority of Scripture, there are some today would say, now, you're just being homophobic. You're being hateful.
Right.
You're being a bigot. What do you say to that?
Well, I would say to them, and I would use an analogy, if you went to a doctor and you were struggling with a disease like cancer, would you want the doctor to say, take a few aspirins and you'll be okay? Or would you want them to say, you have cancer and we need to start treatment right away with radiation and chemo, because we need to get this out of you? Or pretend your house was on fire and someone knocks on your door. Would you want someone to tell you, get out of the house, your house is on fire? And so the loving thing to do is to warn somebody
yes.
that how you're living is going to destroy you,
yes.
whatever sin that is. And so they have, unfortunately, in the apostate church, the liberal church, whatever you want to call it, have revised the Scripture, read into the Scriptures what it's really not saying, and they've manufactured it to make it appeal to people that they can stay in their lifestyle, stay in whatever sin, and be comfortable in it.
Yes.
And they'll say, well, we're trying to be loving, trying to be condemning. It's actually the exact opposite. That's called lawlessness. Because if God says something, He uses the term in Greek, homologeo. When you confess your sins, you must say the same thing about your sin that He's saying about it. So if you say it's not, then that's lawlessness. And I think that's what's happened. That's not the loving thing. So what really is happening is all these people have spiritual cancer or a spiritual tumor, and the doctor is saying, here's a lollipop. You're okay, and I hope you feel good. Are you okay with me? I'm okay with you. Let's go on with life. And they're going to die because of it spiritually.
I really believe that today, especially regarding the subject matter of homosexuality, rather than our defending the truth and the authority of Scripture, we are, in fact, not being homophobic. We
No.
are not being hateful.
Right.
We are not being intolerant. I really believe today that we have become defenders and protectors of God's character
Yeah.
and the truth of His Word,
Yeah.
especially when it comes to this subject matter. I always think of Jesus as our perfect role model.
Mm-hmm.
Every time Jesus confronted someone, and He did on a pretty regular basis.
Yes, He did.
He was always confronting and challenging. Now, there is a right way and a wrong way to confront someone.
Sure, sure.
There's a lot to be said for what we say and how it's said.
Yeah.
But Jesus, always when He approached someone, He always did so with an equal balance of both truth and grace.
Yeah.
Today, I see a lot of extension of grace
yeah.
when it comes to homosexuality. But what I also see, unfortunately, is a minimizing and a withholding of truth. And that troubles me greatly.
Yeah, and you can blame the church growth movement on that one, Philip. That's exactly where that came from. And so you see the TV preachers, you hear them with the big, large congregations. Saying that God is love is appealing, but the scripture also teaches that he's a God of justice, a God of truth. It says that Jesus came in grace and truth. The woman at the well, he exhibited this very well to us when he gave her grace, but then at the end of it, he says, and you've had five husbands, and the one you're living with is not your husband.
Right,
truth.
Right.
And he's told the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. Truth. He gave her grace, but he gave her truth. So here's what happens. This is what's going on in Christianity as far as what I'm seeing as a pastor. The churches are not giving the truth. They want to present God as a God of love, but they don't want to give the truth because when you start giving the truth can hurt.
Yes.
And we understand the truth can hurt, and it's meant to hurt sometimes. The truth won't harm us, but it can hurt us because it's going to tell the reality that we're living in is wrong.
Yes.
So what happens is in the mainstream churches that want to grow big, to have nickels and noses, they will refrain from giving the truth out about particular sins in order to grow their congregation and to make sure the money's flowing in. Is it that crass? Yes, it's that crass. And that's why you see the church growth movement, seeker-friendly, whatever you want to call it, that's watered-down gospel, no truth, all love, or all grace. And when you have that, you have no limitations. There's no boundaries. So it's always you have to have the balance. And you're absolutely right. Jesus was the perfect balance of that.
Yes. One of the concerns I have as well is that in many, many churches, on any given Sunday morning, you can have a contingent of men and women that were once told, like myself,
mm-hmm.
you have to forsake the practice of homosexuality. You need to repent. Mm-hmm. You need to surrender your life to Christ and be discipled. I and a multitude of other men and women said yes and amen,
yeah.
entered the process, and here we are many, many years later, free from same-sex attraction.
Right.
Some of these men and women have gone on to marry and have children, and
right.
some have elected to remain single. But I'm concerned as well that there's also a contingent, often on Sunday morning worship services, of other men and women now that are not hearing that there's anything wrong
yeah.
with homosexual practice. And these men and women on Sunday mornings are sitting in the same worship service. I would submit there is a significant elephant in the sanctuary
yeah.
that is being dismissed and not recognized, and it's causing great issue.
Yeah. I call this the sin of silence. And I use the phrase, it's not what the pastor or the church is saying, it's what they're not saying from the pulpit. And for instance, the Supreme Court passes the same-sex marriage thing, a couple years ago or whatnot. The churches in Kern County, a lot of them were silent. And the reason I know that, because the people that went to those churches would tell me, hey, my pastor didn't say a word about this. That's that issue when the Supreme Court did that. It's like a Roe v. Wade in 1973. That's a total reversal of what we have done as a culture. And yet pastors refuse to talk about that and the significance and the implications. And so, for instance, think about that. So the Supreme Court does this, and then after that, Pandora's box opens.
Right.
Now we have transgender issues now, all of a sudden. We never think. And when we told people, if the Supreme Court does this, it'll open Pandora's box, they didn't believe it.
Right.
And now they're having to deal with transgender issues, bathroom issues, and now they're doing it in the schools.
And there are also many, many other groups waiting on the sidelines.
Absolutely.
Waiting for their chance.
You're right. And they don't, if you let that happen, that's what goes on. Other extreme groups will do things. And so I sat back and I watched, and I'm like, why isn't anyone saying anything about this? And I think it always comes back to this thing. Well, I don't want to upset people. I don't want to offend people. I don't want to run my congregation out. And so now we have churches or pastors playing a game, not giving the truth out. And this is not just Kern County. It's nationwide this is happening. The people who control the narrative in Christendom, in America, are not conservative Christians. They are liberal or even apostate churches that are controlling the narrative. So I'll give you an example. We talked a while back at lunch one time And a pastor was asked, well, you know, when's the last time you preached against homosexuality or the sin of homosexuality or any social sexual deviant practice? It'd been 20 years. It'd been 20 years since the guy had touched the subject. Preaching the scriptures, how do you avoid that subject? Because it comes up all the time, whether it's fornication, adultery, or homosexuality. How do you avoid that subject? Because it keeps popping up in scriptures. So I think we're coming to see this age of apostasy with the sin of silence.
With regard to silence, my concern is that silence often implies consent.
That's right.
That's my primary concern.
Absolutely.
With the silence, and I agree with you, there seems to be more and more churches today taking the stance of, we're not going to talk about this.
Right.
And that is very, very, very troubling.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, because we're coming almost to the conclusion of our time, unfortunately, can a Christian struggle with same-sex attraction?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because in all the years I've counseled, I see people and encounter people that are truly sincere about their walk with the Lord, but they struggle with same-sex attractions. And they're not flippant about it. You know, they're not taking it lightly. They realize they got a problem, and they're serious. They want help, but they are struggling, and they'll struggle for years. So, yes, absolutely.
I'm asking the question because, again, based on personal experience, many, many, many times, primarily for men, they would say, Pastor Lee, I'm a Christian. How can I be struggling with this?
Mm-hmm.
Do we not all have areas of struggle? It doesn't matter if we've been walking with Jesus for a day or 50 years. Once again, we come right back to what we said a moment ago. We're all in process.
That's right.
And the reality is today that we're all combating something.
That's right.
With this particular form of brokenness, I still would submit that many, many people today are seeing as the biggie.
Right.
But if you read scripture thoroughly, you will see that same-sex attraction is just one form of brokenness. There are many, many, many others.
That's right.
Where do you suppose some churches get the idea that there's no repentance or redemption for homosexuals?
Good question. I think it has to do sometimes with a hyperversion of some type of theology of determinism.
Hmm.
And I think, you know, I don't want to do a broad brush, but there's some theologies that teach a determinism that when someone has been involved in this, that there's no way back. They're determined to be this way. And unfortunately, it's a hybrid of theology and soteriology in the area of salvation.
Okay.
And so when they see this sin exhibited, they automatically think, well, they've been given over. There's no hope for them. They're not coming back. That's not Christianity, but that's a hybrid, a perversion of a soteriology.
Especially when 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, which I would always, always refer to as some of the sweetest words contained mm-hmm. the entire Word of God.
Yeah.
The verse says, and this is what some of you were. Past tense.
Right.
Men and women thousands of years ago got out from the brokenness of same-sex attraction. How? They got out then the same way they're getting out today.
That's right.
Through a deep, genuine, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Pastor Brandon, thanks so much for being here. I wish we had much more time. Appreciate your insights. And again, thank you so, so much, Rock Harbor Church, for your faithful, faithful support at His Way Out Ministries. To all those listening in, thanks so much once again for being here. And until next week, same time, same station, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.